Good morning. It is a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartalk. Alan, the Supreme Court has allowed absentee ballot extensions in two battleground states. The decisions allowing officials in Pennsylvania and North Carolina to accept absentee ballots after Election Day were welcomed by Democrats. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who joined the court Tuesday and was expected to cast a deciding vote, did not participate in either case.
Now, I may be wrong, David, but I see the hand of John Roberts here. Roberts knows that the Supreme Court is now at a juncture, and that if they make bad decisions here, if they appear to be Republican tools, which of course at least three or four of them are, that they will lose all prestige for all time. And Roberts wants the Roberts Court to have a distinction. We know that as being fair and impartial and do things according to the law. So all of a sudden, there is a reversal. We saw earlier a very pro-Trump decision on voting rights after the day of the election. Now, that's turned around. This court has said, okay, we're going to go with it. We're going to allow people to cast their ballots and to have them counted. That clearly is John Roberts, as far as I'm concerned, because he knows the prestige of the court is on the line. And they make a mistake now, they will be handing to the Biden administration, assuming Biden wins, the need and right to expand the number of members of the court.
A profile in courage for Roberts?
Well, let's put it this way. I've said it before. Roberts is not a Trump appointee. He's a Bush appointee. And he knows full well the Bush people aren't in love with Donald Trump. So if you want to examine it from a political point of view, that's one way to do it. Of course, the three, when you're talking about people like Thomas and others, are going to do whatever this president wants. They will just be hopeless and they will do whatever the political winds demand of them. But I think this is an attempt by Roberts to save the court as we know it.
Well, meanwhile, President Donald Trump, President Biden appealing to last-minute voters in Florida. We know how important Florida is. As the AP says, a state all but essential to the Republicans' pathway to another term. I'm seeing a number of articles popping up suggesting shades of 2000.
That's right. Look, it's a close state. We know it. If there's anything like an impartial vote count in Florida, I think Biden's going to win right now. That's the way the winds of change are shifting. Nevertheless, they've got a Republican governor who's shown himself to be in line with Trump, Secretary of State, and to me is doubtful whether the Democrats are going to get a fair shake here. Look at Donald Trump, what he's done, what he's said, and look at the history of the Republican governor of Florida, and you see some real potential trouble here.
Speaking of systemic trouble, another police shooting in Philadelphia, this time the fatal shooting of another black man on America's streets by police. As the Associated Press, Philadelphia police say 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr. was shot earlier this week in the throes of a mental health crisis after he ignored officers' orders to drop a knife. One more piece of news to energize many who are upset with the justice system.
Well, that's right, David. If you happen to be black in America and are used to these stories of driving while black, walking in the, quote, wrong neighborhood, you know that the color of your skin becomes the way in which police decide, in too many cases, what happens when they confront the situation. Now, in this particular case, as I read it yesterday, there was a knife in the guy's hand. But apparently, his relatives had called and said the guy was having a mental health crisis. Where were the tasers? Where were the other things? No, you shoot the guy dead. And that seems to be what people are reacting to in this country right now. There are other ways than shooting somebody who is having a mental health crisis and who refuses to give up a knife. That is pretty plain to me.
Pretty plain to Dr. Fauci. He's told Australians now, Alan, that COVID-19 in the U.S. is, quote, getting worse and worse and might not get close to normal until 2022.
I believe it. First of all, you've got the vaccines. Second of all, the vaccines don't always work. Third of all, when the vaccines are administered, not everybody in the country is going to take them. So you're going to have the danger that we have seen before with other vaccines where people don't take them. No, this is not a good situation, and we can expect that there's going to be a long haul here before this is resolved.
Some disturbing news when it comes to the census. A lawsuit says census takers were pressured to falsify data. Alan, a revised lawsuit says the U.S. Census Bureau was able to claim it had reached 99.9% of households because census takers were pressured to falsify data in order to close cases.
Well, David, we all know from both anecdotal stories and others that being a census taker is not an easy job. On the point of our 50th anniversary, we made a return trip to Fire Island, and there on a boat, we met the guy who was taking the census. And we met him later in the day, and he said people were not there. This is a very wealthy community, not allowing him to enter their grounds. The gate was closed, and he wasn't about to trespass. So this was, of course, symbolic of what census people who are trying to do the job have been facing all along. And we know if there's a neighborhood which can have a high crime rate, that makes it even more difficult. We know that people who come from other countries and who are not here under the current legal system are loath to answer the doorbells either, even though they're supposed to be counted in the census. That's what it's all about.
Media election planners prepare for a night of mystery. News organizations preparing to follow the vote count next week are preaching caution. This year's increase in early and mail-in voting will complicate what used to be a fairly cut-and-dried process of reporting election results. How important is the media coverage of election night?
Well, it's going to be huge. And investigative journalism never will have or has had as important a role as it is having right now. Look, let's say the polls are generally right this time, that Biden is now leading in national polls by 11 points and in each of the states. And all of a sudden, corrupt officials start to interfere and the vote goes the other way. Well, that's where the press is really going to play a role.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.